San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, L.A. County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, out to Riverside, out to the desert, and now time to introduce the main man of the hour. Also, you can hear us on AM760.com. The main man of the hour here, though, is he's a CPA extraordinaire. He's an accomplished long-distance runner. He's a best-selling author. He's a philanthropist, all-around good guy. And family man, his name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm marvelous, Joe. I'm getting ready to run a 10-mile race bright and early tomorrow morning.
Oh, my gosh. 10 miles?
Yeah, it's the UT California 1020, you know, the event that Union Tribune sponsoring Doug Manchester's big race.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I hear the course veers to the right.
And it's all downhill. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, the paper's actually doing very well. I had a lunch with one of their executives the other day, and they're doing very well.
We're going from Del Mar Racetrack up to San Alijo, and then back down to Del Mar Racetrack.
Really?
Yeah.
And what's the cause? Is it literacy? I know they used to do a literacy run.
One of the cancer charities is the biggest beneficiary. I forget which one.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I know they used to do one for literacy. I used to run. They had They would close off 163, and that was kind of cool because you don't get to run down a freeway all that frequently, unless you
want to get arrested.
Unless your car breaks down, I guess. But anyway, what are you thinking of these the Olympic Games going on?
Well, I was watching the hockey match between the U.S. and Russia, and I'll just say that Mr. Putin's not very happy.
Oh yeah. Well, that's I heard that we won in a shootout today.
Shootout,
correct?
Yeah. It was 2-2 regulation, and then U.S.
But
won.
I think we may be playing them again, though, right?
Most likely. Because it's preliminary rounds.
Boy, but who could for? Of course, now we have a lot of professional hockey players. I remember 1980 when we had non-professionals playing hockey, and Micah Ruzzioni scored that big goal to beat the Russians. And
I saw the national team play in 1976, the Russian national team with Tretiak in goal.
Really?
37 years ago. They were touring the U.S. playing the professional team.
Where did you see them? Sports Arena?
They were down at the Sports Arena. Remember the old San Diego Mariners of the WHA?
I certainly do. Bobby Hull was the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, Winnipeg Jets. They came into town and they beat the San Diego Mariners something like 6-3 or 6-4 with Tretiak in goal, the Russian national team.
Was that only 6-3? That's pretty good.
Yeah, well, the Mariners had some good players. Andre Lacroix.
Right. Oh, I remember him.
Yeah,
good player. Yeah. Hey, last night I was watching some of the figure skating, and so, I don't know what possessed me, but I remember that movie that Will Ferrell made, and Jim Lampley actually was in it, called Blades of Glory.
Yeah, I know. That's a funny.
Oh, my gosh. And Lampley, I thought, was outstanding in that. He actually had lived. I brought him and some of his family down to UltraStar Hazard Center. Which, by the way, was a Digiplex. Just this week, it switched back to UltraStar. So that's great news. At Hazard Center, we have another local business that's reemerged. So that's kind of cool. But that is one funny movie. You saw that movie, right?
I've seen that movie, yeah.
Will Ferrell. You know, he's pals with the people who own the Blind Lady L House up in Normal Heights. I don't know if you knew that.
But I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's been here several times. I think he went to college or knows somebody, one of the owners or something. But... He hangs out here once in a blue moon, so that's kind of cool. So, hey, we got a new mayor. We'll be swearing in next month. What'd you think of the election?
I wasn't surprised that Kevin Faulkner won. I think.
Were you surprised that it was by that large a margin? Though?
Well, the Alvarez had made up some ground in the polls, but
supposedly,
you never know if those polls are accurate, Joe.
Well, you know, that Survey USA one usually is pretty good, but at least they did pick the winner. They just was by a larger margin than they said, a margin of one with a margin of error of 4, so it would have been 5. So they actually were off by 4 points. But I don't know what happened. I think maybe they didn't consider the mail-in ballots because as soon as the polls closed and they flashed the numbers, he was up by 13 points, and it never got close after that. So.
But anyway, congratulations to Mr. Faulkner.
You know, I think he's making a concerted effort at being bipartisan or nonpartisan. And I don't know if you saw his initial transition committee, but it has people of all political stripes on there, and that's kind of cool.
I think it's going to be good.
Yeah. I'm a little concerned about this Centennial Committee that's supposed to set up the big celebration. I think they've had, you know, CEOs keep resigning left and right. I hope we have a celebration. You know, we're just out there, having popcorn that day. I mean, I hope... Yeah, have you been following that at all or not?
No, I haven't. No, I just see that people resign all the time, and I don't know what's going on. But yeah. We got a couple of years to work with, right?
Yeah, I guess we do. I hope so. Anyway, we're having some great weather here. I know the East Coast has been getting battered. And matter of fact, Larry Doyle, I gave you his book tonight. We're going to have him on the show next month. He wrote In Bed with Wall Street. I saw him on Book TV the other night, but he was trying to get from Connecticut to Notre Dame University, to him and his wife, to see his son, and I think they got delayed. And you know, all kind of, when the weather strikes, I guess it just totally screws up all the air traffic out there, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was really disappointed with our weather today. It didn't get over like 73. Hey, we should introduce our guest.
Well, we'll get to let's do that right now. We've got a wonderful show tonight. We have the founder of Accretive of San Diego. This is a very unique methodology to increase funds and create funds for nonprofit organizations. And his name is Mark Nielsen. So, Mark, good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm fine, Joe. Thanks very much.
That's great. So, tell us a little bit about yourself. We typically like to get a little bio on our guests and find out where they were born and raised and schooled before they got into their business. So how about yourself?
Well, I started on the East Coast as a kid in the Boston area.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yep. And we moved to other cold places, Canada, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan. I guess my parents thought that was normal, for the temperatures to always be below zero.
Was your dad in the military? Or
no, he was in sales. He was always recruited from one place to another. So we were used to moving about every 3 years. By the time I was in high school, we were actually right by the University of Notre Dame, could almost in the shadows of the Golden Dome. And I was there for about 32 years.
Huh.
So I'm here 9 years now to balance my weather deficits.
I tell everybody I moved here from Chicago in 77, and I'm still thawing out. So, people don't know what the word wind chill means here. But
no, they think it's the front part of the car.
Right.
But anyways, career-wise, back in the Midwest, I was a CPA. Jumped from there to be a CFO for the next 20-some years, some with large companies that grew to about $1 billion, some several hundred million. And so it was kind of a typical finance path, CPA to CFO. And each of those had what we call liquidity events or transfer of ownership, a sale, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2005, I leapt at the opportunity to move to San Diego because I was one of those people that was always visiting friends out here and swore one day that I would go back and bring my furniture. So in 2005, I did that, and I've been out here for 9 years.
Great.
After figuring out how to get around for a little bit, I joined a firm called Tatum, which Richard is aware of, and I was there for about 5 years. We were a firm of CFOs around the country, 40 offices, about 500 of us.
Huh.
And 3 years ago, I got bit by the entrepreneurial bug and started Accretive. And we actually have a business model backed by the University of Notre Dame, too. I have a handful of partners back there and a handful of partners here.
Hmm. Did you go to, are you Notre Dame grad or?
No, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express.
So speaking of Indiana basketball, how's that for a segue? Purdue absolutely killed Indiana today. I mean, it was.
Are you aware, Mark? Because I'm not.
I actually went to Ball State University, and David Letterman and I.
David Letterman, Muncie, David Indiana. Letterman.
Exactly.
And there you go. And, you ready? Bonzi Wells. How's that for Ball State?
Very, very good.
Yeah.
Who's that? A
he was a great basketball player.
Out of Ball State?
Uh-huh. Yep. Bonzi Wells.
I have to tell you a quick Bobby Knight story. I was at an event one time where the coaches of Notre Dame, Purdue, and IU, Bobby Knight, were there. Bobby Knight stood up and said, "When I die, I want to be buried in West Lafayette, Indiana, so I can be as far from college basketball as possible."
There you go.
Which is where Purdue is.
I know, that's where Purdue is.
What is Bobby Knight doing these days?
He's doing color commentary for college basketball
games. Oh, my God. It must be colorful.
It's colorful.
Oh, my gosh. But speaking of color, my brother emails me the link today of just a segue. Lee Elia, the manager of the Cubs in 1983.
I remember him.
Oh my gosh, he unloaded on some. They started off the season 5-14, and he just went off with a series of expletives, and it's on the internet for everyone to enjoy time and time again. But makes Wolf of Wall Street look amateurish in terms of usage of that that flowery but term.
Let's get back on track.
Yeah, let's get back on track though.
So Mark, you do something really neat. We were supposed to have another guest in with you, which is going to be Joanne Pastula from Junior Achievement. We had Junior Achievement, great program, great charity here in town on the show about, I think it was about a year and a half ago when we had Tara Michener from that organization with us. But she had some family issues, so couldn't make it. But can you give us a brief background just on, now that you're consulting or have your own company, and I guess you could work Junior Achievement into this as an example, what are you doing that makes you so unique?
Well, we've actually kind of used the cost reduction industry as a new form of fundraising. And a couple of years ago, the San Diego Business Journal did a nice article about Accretive and what we were doing to allocate some of what of our share of our revenues to nonprofits. Well, Joanne Pastula, the CEO of Junior Achievement here in San Diego, reached out for me and suggested that perhaps the business model would be a great tool for fundraising that the nonprofits would utilize. And just so happened that they were just now recently kicking off a capital campaign for something called Finance Park, which is complementary to their BizTown. Many people have probably visited and seen
that. Yeah, BizTown is neat. I've been there a couple of times.
Yeah, and neat is really, putting it mildly,
it's really neat. I mean, it's...
You mean there's a Finance Park inside there or totally different location?
Joe, this is going to be a new capital campaign to extend the program from the elementary school kids on site to for the high school kids as they start thinking about life after high school, whether it be college or career or what have you. So they just launched the capital campaign, and Accretive is helping raise 25% of the $4 million for that capital campaign. Mm-hmm. And I'll talk a little bit in a minute about how we're doing that. So.
Wonderful. And you see the name Accretive, it means increased by external addition, opposite of dilutive. So I guess you're collaborating with trying to bring in a whole series of people to collaborate on fundraising projects. Is that basically it?
Right. The word Accretive is actually a financial word that CFOs tend to use, and myself and my partners are all recovering CFOs. And anybody that's either knows CFOs or been one knows what that means. And so anyways, the kind of unique thing here is we go into for-profit companies and we find savings without ever touching payroll or their product costs if they're a manufacturer or distributor. So there's a whole bunch of other costs that don't get the time and attention that they might warrant if they had a bigger staff and the luxury of people to dive into those things. So we find savings. Nobody ever loses a job from what we do. And before we do that, those companies pre-designate some slice of those savings to go to the charities of their choosing. So Junior Achievement introduces us to those companies because they know they're going to get roughly 15% of whatever we find.
All right. So that's very interesting. We got to hold it right there, and we'll find out how you save all that money when we come back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life right after this. Hang on. We're back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life, the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life, with our guest founder and president of Accretive of San Diego, Mark Nielsen. We also have with us Michael Caranta, VP of UBS, but we'll get to him a little later on. But Richard, let's get into some cost reduction. What do you say?
Yeah, but first of all, hey, the Aztecs beat Air Force, so.
All right.
Back on the winning track. Way to go.
Fantastic.
All right, Mark. So look, before we talk about charities in any greater detail, you go into companies and you save costs. Can you give us some examples of some of the common costs or the things that tend to be, shall we say, common across the board with companies where you can help? And then can you also give us a couple of examples of some really strange and different things that you found?
Sure. And typically we're looking for things that the company wouldn't necessarily think of themselves. So when you bring fresh eyes to the table, which we all have when we look at something new, you ask different questions. So we have about 10 categories and have some different things underneath those, but they're tax, insurance, banking. Technology is a huge one. Mm-hmm. People-related costs, but not people costs themselves. We don't, as I said earlier, we don't cut heads and get paid for that. That's management's job, not ours. Transportation, transaction costs, facility costs, those are kind of the major categories. I'll tell you the things that jump out on every single for-profit, really even any nonprofit client we have. Always want to look at health insurance because that's like a confusion in a blender right now. technology, because it changes so fast, the odds of a company knowing everything and having their best practices, if you will, and all those things is almost impossible. It's just impossible to keep up with all those fast-changing things. Transportation costs is another complex, mysterious area where we always find savings. We have about 45 areas, and there's about 12 of them where we know if the organization gives us the opportunity, we're going to find meaningful savings. And mm-hmm. it really, that's what it comes down to, whether they give you the opportunity to really take a look, because they get to decide whether they implement them or not. So there's really nothing to lose.
What about utilities, power, energy?
Well, that's another one that's complex. And so typically we do find savings, and it's not not always in ways you think of. We've actually brought solar to some organizations that didn't think they could afford it, didn't know how to finance it. So we partner up with the best in class of solar installers and also bring the financing piece to the table. So we're really connectors that facilitate cost savings. I've essentially organized dozens and dozens of firms that already existed in San Diego in the cost reduction industry, but they really are all kind of scattered and fragmented, and we've kind of pulled them into what you could probably describe as a PPO.
Yeah, you triggered a thought. We had Alan Ball on the show. Remember him, Richard? He used to work for Qualcomm, and he was in charge.
Absolutely, I remember Alan.
He made that, because I asked him, why didn't you guys get caught up in that Enron thing? Because obviously a lot of businesses, you know, their utilities went through the roof. And he said, we didn't like those guys, and we shopped around. We found another company out of Canada where we bought our energy from, and they were able to avoid all that that calamity of the price going through the roof. But I heard Diane Jacob talking the other day, and I think they're going to try to roll this out for actual consumers now. To be able to shop around for your energy, so that would help. This cloud everyone talks about, is that going to save businesses a lot of IT costs if everything goes up in the cloud? Because I'm not really clear on that.
Well, absolutely, because it's shifting costs from fixed costs, buying lots of equipment, hiring lots of people, to basically just tapping into internet service providers, and that so they have the infrastructure. They're just simply sharing it across lots and lots of companies. It's really not that much different than utilities. When you, early days, people would have their own generators and so forth, and eventually we started having consumer power, and they aggregated that. So what's going on in technology is absolutely the exact same thing as what went on with utilities. And so really, internet services are really becoming a utility.
Huh. Interesting.
But Mark, there's one line item that's usually not a very big expense on companies' P&Ls, and that would be charitable contributions, right?
That's right. I actually found out that I was surprised to find out that corporate giving in the United States was only 6% of the entire philanthropic pie.
Right. Yet it represents, well, I don't know what percent of the economy, but it's humongous as a function. I've got two criticisms about, maybe you can comment on this, about businesses and charity. One is that, well, that's the first one, that corporations typically don't give. But the other one is that in many cases, leaders of corporations don't give their time, their talents, their networks. They don't collaborate in their communities, which is something else that you do. As you mentioned, you're a connector and a collaborator to get everything that you get done. Just speaking really generally, how do you encourage people who run successful companies to get more active, both with their time and their talent, as well as their dollars in their community?
Well, I lead by example. I personally, you know, I'm a big brother. Of course, I don't have children of my own, so I've been a big brother a few times. I'm an active big brother now, involved with Social Venture Partners, which actually works on nonprofits rather than in nonprofits. Mm-hmm. And I'm on the board of Volunteers of America and am the fundraising chair. And so I try to just lead by example, not by my preaching. Our model is actually tapped into a whole nother well of funds for supporting nonprofits that probably nobody ever thought of before. So, found money.
Yeah, and one of the challenges with corporations giving is there's some limitations on the deductibility for income tax purposes of charitable contributions. The restrictions are much more significant at the corporate level than they are for individual tax returns, 1040. So that may be one reason why that you don't see a lot of corporate giving per se, which, yeah, whether that affects it or not, I don't know. But 6% is woefully low. So can you give us an example of the strangest cost savings you've ever found?
Well, we're actually working on one, and this was kind of a good example of what we look for. We don't look for roughing up the company's vendors and just focusing on the price. So we have a client who spends a fair amount of money on courier services.
Okay.
And So they spend a fair amount of money having documents couriered between their offices in Southern California. And so they thought we would kind of come in and get the vendors together and rough those guys up and get our baseball bats out and scare them, which we didn't. What we asked was, what's in the envelopes? After all, it's 2013 and we're still currying things around.
Yeah, we found paper. Paper? Which paper?
Exactly. So we found out that there was a technology solution that did not lower the costs. It eliminated it.
Wow.
And so if you ask the right questions and don't just go forward just to focus on the price of something, which is really easy to attack, you're going to find out there's always a different way to do something than the way you're thinking about it.
That's neat.
Interesting.
That's neat.
Hey, so, Rich, we have to take our break right now. So we'll come right back.
Question when we come back.
Please hold that. We'll be right back with more of the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life right after this. Hang on. All right, we're back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life, the award-winning show. Over to Richard to thank our sponsors.
Thank you, sponsors. UBS, Michael Carantas here in studio. Also, Drew Freitas. Also want to send our condolences to the Freitas family. Drew's mom passed away about a week and a half ago. So very sorry to hear about that. Right across the street from UBS, Regents Bank, Sean Puckett, Steve Sefton, best business bank here in San Diego.
Great guest last week, by the way.
Oh, that was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics, best CFO company. No offense intended to Mark Nielsen.
We're recovering CFOs.
You're recovering CFOs. He's still a practicing CFO. Our favorite CPAs on the planet, already into tax season, Paul Polito, Don Epic, CPA, Polito Epic CPAs up in Vista. I was reading a funny article. It said more tax returns have been filed already at this time this year compared to this time last year. I'm thinking, well, that would make sense since you weren't allowed to file anything until February 14th last year. And that's like this Friday this year. So this year it was February 1st. But, you know, the IRS is trying to, I guess, erase from memory that horrific tax season that CPAs had last year. Brenda Geiger with the Law Offices of Brenda Geiger. I heard that I didn't attend, but a couple of my friends did the event that she did last week. And it was well attended. And a lot of people got a new living trust for their loved ones. How romantic for Valentine's Day. Carl Sheeler with Berkeley Research Group. Helping businesses improve the value of their business and understand better the risks that are behind the value drivers. And talking about saving costs, I know this is one of Mark Nielsen's favorite costs to save. It's improving your cash flow on real estate by getting more depreciation. Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. So thank you to all of our sponsors. And Joe, where can our listeners find out more about our wonderful sponsors?
Well, if they get over to their computers or smartphones or whatever they use to get online and get on iymoney.com for It's Your, iymoney.com, and just put your mouse on the sponsors, and all the tabs are there for all of our sponsors, all their personal information, their phone numbers, emails. You can contact them very easily that way. And if you want to celebrate your new living trust tomorrow, get over to the patio restaurant on Lamont in bring your dog, too, while you're at it, because it's a very cool place. Lamont, have you been over there, Richard?
I have, yes.
You know, we had Gina Champion Canine in November, and I just wanted to give them a plug because they have all kinds of specials going on tomorrow for President's Day. Monday, excuse me.
Monday is President's Day.
But they have brunch tomorrow, too, so they've got a great brunch. So anyway, we want to give them a plug. Hey, how about we talk about give Michael Caranta a little plug here from UBS.
Well, Mike does great work.
He's
in studio hanging out tonight with us, and I had the pleasure of having breakfast with him and Drew. I think it was Thursday morning down at the Hyatt, and that was a lot of fun.
Excellent.
And Michael finally remembered to give me my Christmas present 2 months later.
He's a busy guy.
He's
Richard.
A busy guy, I know.
For God's sake.
I'm just ragging on him. Hey, Mark Nielsen, what's your website?
It's www.accretivesandiego.com. Accretive, again, is a word you don't hear much. accretivesandiego.com.
AccretiveSanDiego.com. There you go. Okay.
So, Mark, can you give us a real live example? You don't have to tell us the name of the business because I know some of the stuff is confidential, but like, you know, like a kind of a business, a type, and what you went in and what you found and how much money was saved and where it was saved.
Sure.
And then we're going to talk more about charities.
Okay. Actually, a company that was acquired about a year ago brought us in because they were looking at being acquired and they wanted to raise the value of the business. And they also weren't quite making their bonuses. They were just a little bit shy where they were going to be, so they were hoping two things. One, the value of the business could be brought up if some you know, cost savings were found that they hadn't found themselves. Plus, they would get into the money on their bonuses. So we had about six things we looked at. That's about typical with a company. They have six things they're curious about.
What industry? What did the company do?
They were in the skin business, skincare products.
Okay, got it.
And they've since been acquired, and they're no longer in San Diego. But mission was accomplished. We saved about just shy of $500,000 in about three of the six areas. The other three areas, actually, we didn't find savings. And since we're resultants, not consultants, we don't charge for that. So they got a free checkup on three things. And the other three things, let me see, what was involved with that? Some of their legal costs, we found a creative way to tackle that. Some of their FedEx and UPS costs, they thought they were doing a pretty good job there. But there's comes down to what you don't know, not what you do know. We found a couple hundred thousand savings there. And I think the other area was in health insurance, which is always an area that, you know, most companies are scratching their heads on right now.
Well, are costs going down with this new law? I mean, we get conflicting opinions, but it seems some people are saving money, at least on the individual basis. But I guess it depends, you know, what level you're coming in terms of cost. But what's been your experience thus far?
Well, my experience has been that it's what you don't know that's costing you money. Mm. And so if you actually will shake the status quo up a little bit and let someone give you a fresh look at something, mm-hmm. You'll find out that you're exactly where you should be, or you're going to find out there's money to be saved.
Yeah.
And health insurance is complex, and there's so many different options out there for right. companies, and many of them, they just haven't looked at it, and they've done the same thing year after year and kind of gotten used to living with a 6, 8, 10, 15% increase. And so when they say, hey, time out, let's take a different look, oftentimes they're surprised by what's possible.
What's your opinion of direct contracting, though, in healthcare? I hear some large companies are doing this now and saving 15% and more. Are you familiar with this?
Oh, yes. Matter of fact, I'm Accretive is co-sponsoring an event in March with a firm that here in San Diego that does partially self-insured programs. And we're bringing the speaker from a book, the CEO of a company that has really tackled this head on by direct contracting. It's called The Company That Solved Healthcare. The Company That Solved Healthcare. And the author, John Torinas, is coming to San Diego in March. And he's a CEO. He's not a consultant. He's not in the healthcare business. He's not political. And
what's his company and where is he based?
I can't think of the name of the company, but he's in Wisconsin.
Huh.
And Wisconsin's not known for being the healthiest state in the union with bratwurst, beer, cheese, milk, and all
beer,
that.
Beer, cheese.
Bratwurst.
But I would encourage anybody that's scratching their head about healthcare costs.
Who's hosting that? Are you? Which organization?
We're sponsoring it. The group is
Social Venture?
No, no. It's actually Discovery Benefit Solutions is a broker that's they only do partially self-insured programs, which means companies are going to take on some risk. Mm-hmm. So therefore, they better know enough what they're doing with that risk and mm-hmm. how to manage that. But personally, my personal opinion is that's where everything's moving is towards companies taking a lot more direct ownership in the issue and educating their employees how to become great consumers of healthcare and care more than just about your out-of-pocket costs.
Gotcha.
So Mark, when you come into a company, do you sometimes get resistance like from a CFO or a CEO because their board might say, hey, wait a minute, you guys weren't doing your job. This guy fined all of these things for us. Why weren't you?
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
You save money now, but you didn't save money for people 3, 4, 5 years ago because you weren't hired yet.
Well, it's a great question. In fact, there's two ways we tackle that. One is we make sure the CEO and the CFO, particularly the CFO who might get their dander up, is comforted in knowing that the things that we're going to look at are not things that they should be expected to have known.
Mm-hmm.
And matter of fact, oftentimes the CEO is willing to carve out a little bit of the savings for the CFO and their team as a bonus, so they're encouraged to let us help them rather than resist. It's just human nature to mm-hmm. not want someone else to find things. But we make sure that the right motivations are in place. Either they're going to get a share of it. The charitable part also adds that motivation as well when that CFO and their staff knows that the charities they already support have been pre-designated to get some share of these savings.
And a quick question, Mark. When you say you're resultant as opposed to consultant, does that mean you get compensated as based on results, or what does that mean?
That's right, Joe. Our firm gets paid only out of the savings that the companies choose to implement, and they don't have to implement our suggestions. They get to decide what we look at, what they implement. So that's why we are resultants versus consultants. And I have no problem with consultants. I have family members who are consultants. But it is true, they get paid for time and words, uh-huh. either written words or verbal advice, and that's their job, and they're a huge part of our economy, very important. But as recovering CFOs, we decided to kind of work backwards. And so we kind of use this word resultants.
I like it. You like it, Richard?
I love the word resultants. It's not even in the dictionary. I was just looking it up here on the internet. So someday it'll be with Mark's picture next to it. So Mark, like in the example that you used with the skin care company, you saved about $500,000. So that means about $75,000 that was carved out went to charity?
Well, actually that was one of the first ones we were doing before we implemented the charitable piece. So what happened is we started implementing the charitable piece, and now almost, I would say 100% of our engagements now have a charitable piece where the company chooses to pre-allocate some share to either one charity or multiple.
Yeah, I figure that's not a very tough sell, is it?
No, not at all. And actually, Junior Achievement is one of three organizations we're partnered up with who are using our model in their fundraising quiver. And so JA has asked us to raise $1 million of the $4 million they need, which means we have to save about $10 million for the companies in their ecosystem.
Like about 10 times that, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Let's take our little break here right now. They'll be right back with more. If it's your man, your life, get over to accretivesandiego.com. We'll come right back after this. Hang on.
Now, it's your money and your life on AM 760 KFMB.
All right, we're back with the founder of A Creative San Diego, Mark Nielsen, myself, Joe Vecchio, Richard Musio, CPA, other co-host. Where are we going for the last segment here?
I just want to point out that Mark really makes sure that it's your money because he saves costs so that it's not somebody else's money. You get to keep it.
Absolutely. And I think every business and nonprofit ought to get on his website and get a hold of him or someone at his company next week, accretivesandiego.com.
Absolutely. And technically, this is the second time Mark's been on the show. He stopped by to say hi when we had Mike Richardson on.
I remember that.
When we were over at La Vie, and that was a lot of fun.
Correct.
Because it was around the holidays. It was really festive.
Well, it's another holiday. It's Valentine's Day weekend.
It's Valentine's Day and then President's Day back to back.
There's a National Comedy Theater. I just wanted to mention real quickly because I just learned of this today. But that's improvisation on Valentine's night. They had two shows. I guess there's people that have been going there for years. Anyway, they had a skit based on this House of Cards thing, and this guy sprung on his girlfriend. He proposed marriage to her right in the middle of the skit. So that was way cool. So Gary Kramer, congratulations on putting on a wonderful show there. But I'll send you the link. It's the video. It's really cool.
Did she say yes or no?
Oh, yes. Of course, okay. Everyone's screaming, yelling, a lot of laughter.
Of course.
Conceived in laughter, they're going to last a long time, I think.
I guess. So. Hey, Mark, a couple of questions. I'm going to start with the for-profit side, then go over to the nonprofit side. What are some of the biggest challenges facing companies today, let's say just in San Diego? Besides healthcare reform.
Well, it's probably, I've heard it's talent because, even Qualcomm, I guess, is looking at setting up some of their newer operations in other places because they've, tapped out the talent pool here. So that's always a challenge. For us, it's the most expensive word in the dictionary is the ego. And in fact, I read a great book called Egonomics, not economics, but Egonomics.
Ooh, I like that.
I like that.
And about two chapters in, I realized it was about me and everybody else. I thought it was about other people, but
it's always about me. No.
But it's really, and I think that's the challenge at all. When you're successful, your ego just naturally grows and you start thinking you know a lot. And I think it's the difference between being smart and being wise. Smart is you know everything, you don't need any help. Wise is you know enough, but you really know who does know to get where you're going.
I used to tell my baseball coach, there's no I in me. He didn't like me very much.
There's no I in team either.
Anyway, but then on the charitable side, I know in this new economy that we have, a lot of charities that are doing things old-fashioned ways, like mailing out things around the holidays, hoping people write checks. Does that stuff still really work? Because I don't think it does.
Well, I'll tell you what. There's really three general ways that nonprofits raise money, and I'll overgeneralize on purpose here. But letters, events, and Lord knows, we all go to enough events, and we write checks, and we invite people to go, and then
I could not possibly bid on another condo in Mammoth.
No. But then also pursuit of deep pockets, which is grants, corporations, and the Irwin Jacobs of the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this whole concept of found money, which is 100% profit, is a whole new well of money.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I did a little test in December myself. I kept all the charitable letters that I got in the month of December, and then I sorted them. And organizations that maybe once would send me two in the same year sent me six in between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Now, that's because it's just a statistical thing. It's inexpensive, and why not do it? So they do it up to the point where they're annoying somebody, and they need to do this because they're all thirsty for dollars, and I don't blame them. But I had about a 3-foot stack of letters just in December alone. So this found money is just a whole new reservoir for nonprofits, and those who are embracing it are finding that. And I've explained it to about 100 nonprofits. They all liked it. Several are starting to put their arms around it. And, you know, when something's new, and nonprofits are not known for jumping on things new, they tend to be followers, which is understandable. But there you go.
Do you try to put on your thinking cap and match nonprofits with companies that they may be a good fit or a good match somehow, some way, whether it's stray pets, whether it's cancer, whether it's leukemia? Or
we actually work backwards, Joe, because we partner with the nonprofits, and they take us to the companies that they already are working with.
Gotcha.
And then we talk to the companies about the model, and if they want to engage us, we save money. They have already allocated some back to the nonprofit. So it's really existing relationships.
Wow. Now, that is very creative. Wow. Who came up with that idea?
I'm not the smartest guy in the room, even when I'm by myself. So I'll give credit to that.
Smartest guy in this room is Coranta.
Yeah. But anyway. No, but who you give credit to on that?
Well, I would say that it was probably Joanne from Junior Achievement, because we're in the same Vistage group together with Mike Richardson, who was on your show a month ago. Mm-hmm. And it was her idea that, hey, why not use this found money thing for fundraising? And we've been doing that for about a year now, and it's been amazing for the nonprofits that are participating and for us and for the companies. It's a no-lose deal. Can't lose.
So you're not going to believe this, but I also kept for the month of November and December every letter I got from a charity.
Amazing.
Can you believe it? I did that too.
Cool.
And there were 62 different entities, and I think it was 115 or 117 pieces. Oh, so many of them did it more than once. And I have a little bit of an issue with that because, you know, I've got this foundation, the Movie Before You Eat Foundation, that only solicits participation in events as opposed to soliciting money. So anyway, I collected all of these, and then I was talking to the CEO of one of these charities last month in January, and I said, you know what you ought to do? I said, I showed him four different letters. I said, you ought to partner like with three other charities, and you'd save a ton of postage if you just sent one mailer with all four of you on there, and then people could decide who they give to. I said, because if a guy gets 62 of these over the course of, say, 4 weeks, you know, you might as well just put four to a page because it's the same thing. I said, everybody who's in San Diego who's somewhat connected, like I am, we're getting so many of these. I said, why don't you just collaborate with other charities and save some cost in your mailer, because whatever I like is what I'm going to give to anyway, not what comes in the mail. And he just looked at me like, really? I would never do that.
Well, the simple truth of this is, if I came up to you on the street today and said, hey, Richard, if you found $100 today, would you give $10 to your favorite charity? What would you say?
I'd give more than 10.
Sure.
Yeah.
But everybody says that. And so this model is the same exact question, only with a lot more zeros on it.
Yeah. But anyway, he didn't appreciate my input, which I thought, well, you know what? I think collaboration is the future of business, and so it's going to be the future of nonprofit business, at least in my humble opinion.
Absolutely. Amen to that. In fact, we have 9,000 nonprofits in San Diego, and if you were starting over, you'd probably have about 600.
Well, I agree with that, and I think the nonprofits that are able to sort of move into the 21st century with the way they do business, the way they're paperless, the way they collaborate with other people in the community, both nonprofits and for-profits, I think those are going to be the real leaders.
And I think in honor of Joanne, we ought to give their website for Junior Achievement.
Yeah, we should. Again, Tara Michener did a great job on this show with Junior Achievement about a year and a half. I think it was summer of 12.
Mm-hmm. It's jasandiego.org. And they've got a whole tab there with the Finance Park coming in 2015.
Joe, have you been to Biztown, by the way?
Biztown? I've been to Biztown, yes.
That was neat stuff.
They are jammed. You know what? They are jammed every school day. I asked when I was there, because there were so many kids running around, and she said, we are jammed every day. We have buses out here every day, so there's a big demand for that. So Finance Park looks like it's going to fit right in there and with their programs. It looks wonderful. So, and Mark is working on that, right? You need $4 million?
Yep. They need to raise $4 million. They just kicked off their campaign. Our job is to raise $1 million of that, and we'll do that by helping the companies around them save $10 million.
Nice.
So everybody wins.
Nice, nice. Well, they already have some big companies in there, so I'm sure that they're going to be helping a little bit some of the bigger companies in town. So that's cool. Excellent. So where are we going to We have about a minute left here, Richard. We're actually,
so, Mark, final words of advice.
If you got about 10, 20 seconds left.
Yeah, 1 minute. Words of advice. If somebody is a CFO or CEO of a charity, what kind of advice could you give them today to maybe help move them along to being a little bit more modern?
We've
got to
wrap here, Richard. Okay.
I'd say it's what you don't know that's costing you money.
There you go.
Anyway, creativesandiego.com. Get over there. Richard, you have a great week. Mark, thanks for being a great guest tonight. Michael, thank you for stopping by from UBS. You have a great week, everybody. Watch those Olympics to conclusion. And we'd like to thank Dan Noon, our sound engineer, for making us sound good. Thanks. And thanks to Craig Blanke, our account executive. Thank you to Dave Sniff, our programming genius here at KFMB. You have a great week, everybody. Get out there, enjoy the great weather and President's Day. Good night and take care. Bye-bye.